of time in the last six seasons, the Dutch are the champions.
This is Gary O'Neill to win it.
They've got it! Terrific header, Callum Robinson, super ball in.
Great feeling, we have to treasure these nights.
Hello there, I'm Adrian Eames and James O'Toole is also with us, and we're joined by Johnny MacDonald, St. Patrick's Athletic legend. Also Johnny Glynn, head of development at Galway United. James, we spent so much time over the last few months talking about your kitchen. That's done and dusted. We can now talk about football.
We can at last. And a bit of a historic moment for you as well, Adrian, as the first commentator on the first streamed game on Friday day. I'm sure that was good fun for you.
Absolutely, yeah. A great outing at the Brandywell. Derry City going down to a 2-0 defeat. We'll talk about that very shortly. But yeah, the streaming, what's been the feedback you've been getting in terms of people involved in football? What have they been saying to you?
So far, I think the feedback's been very, very good. I heard Shay Keegan yesterday reviewing it on another radio station where he was over the moon with what went out. And so far, so good. By the looks of it, there's been a lot of column inches devoted to it over the last couple of days as well. They all seem to be good. There's obviously a couple of little gremlins, as would happen on your first outing for this, as you know yourself, with your sound on Friday just at the start of your game. But that was all evened out. And I think so far, so good. The product has been very good. I think the fact the guys weren't expecting the commentators that they got. And as we said last week, the price point for this is absolutely excellent. And anybody who hasn't jumped on board of it now, and it's just football, football, football. And we're back again on Monday evening as well for another game. So there'll be no getting rid of League of Ireland football now.
And it also ends something for you, James, because I, over the years, every so often during the course of a run of a season, you'd remark, well, I watch all the games because
yes,
I have to.
Yes, I know. I'm raging football now.
Yeah. Everybody else can.
Can watch them all now.
Johnny MacDonald, did you catch any of the streams over the weekend?
I did indeed, and it was very good. There was great interest around, Adrian. Lots of people, you know, that have taken it on board. I think it's a perfect time. The window is there for people to come on board, you know, with the football finishing up in England and stuff, the FA Cup, and it's a good time for people to want to be looking out to find new avenues of football, and I think this is great for them.
It's a bit tough, mind you, James, on the first division sides, because we know that some of the clubs wanted to stream their matches, but of course they're getting a cut of the cake in terms of the Premier Division matches that are being shown. So all the money that's generated is being distributed right across the Premier Division and the First Division. Now, First Division fans then feel perhaps that they're being left out in the cold because they're not in a position to get to see their team, be it Galway United or Cove Rambers or Drogheda United, as it stands.
Yeah, it's a bit tough on them. And in fairness, there's a couple of clubs, I know Galway United in particular, Vinny down there has done a tremendous job of setting up a streaming service for them. And they thought they could charge for it up until about the day before the season re-kicked off, and they were told they couldn't. But there are a couple of clubs have invested in the streaming service. I think they did go ahead with it yesterday to start their streaming off with no charge. But there's a couple of clubs, in fairness, and Galway United being one of them, who are usually ahead of the curve on this kind of thing. And Vinny himself and his son down there, young Vinny, have done very well with their streaming service. I'm sure Johnny's there. Johnny will tell us more about that. But it's a bit unfair. Or is it unfair, realistically? They won't get the same service as the Premier Division, but that's because the facilities inside the grounds aren't up to the same scratch. And but if they can do it themselves, I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be allowed to.
We're recording this, by the way, on a Sunday evening, so there's matches to come, of course, on Monday and again on Tuesday. In fact, a doubleheader on Tuesday. On Monday, it's Pats against Derry City at Richmond Park. The game will be live on Watch LOI. And then a doubleheader on Tuesday with Finn Harps in action against Shelburne at 5, followed by Sligo Rovers against Waterford at 7:45. But the results from the weekend: Derry City 0, Sligo Rovers 2 in the Premier Division. Dundalk 1, St. Pat's 1. Robbie Benson scoring against his old team there to earn St. Pat's a point after Pat Hooban had given Dundalk the lead. Big win for Shamrock Rovers by 3-1. Super strike in that game from a free kick from Jack Byrne. 6 wins out of 6 for the Hoops and 5 points clear. Shells 0, Waterford 1. Impressive display all round from John Sheridan's Waterford. John Martin with the only goal. And on Sunday evening, Cork City 0, Bohemians 1. Andre Wright with an early goal. And Bowes, very good value for their win. In the First Division, Athlone Town 1, Wexford 3. Bray Wanderers 0, Cove Ramblers 0. Galway United 0, Cabinteely 2. Kevin Knight and Shane Barnes with the goals there. UCD 0, Longford Town 0. And Shamrock, I knew this was going to be tricky now. Shamrock Rovers 2, as in the second team, they got 2 goals. So Shamrock Rovers 2-2, Drogheda United 2. Liam Scales and Sean Callan gave the Hoops a 2-0 lead. Drogheda's Mark Hughes got red carded, all that inside the opening half an hour, but Drogheda got a point with second half goals from Mark Doyle and Brandon Birmingham. Johnny McDonald, what was your main takeaway from the weekend? Because there were a lot of standout performances, I guess, and some below par performances, but if you had to pick one thing that you would take from the weekend, what would it be?
I tell you, Adrian, I was impressed when I seen him at St. Pat's, I have to be honest. I think Stephen is definitely going to build a team there. I think they were well worth the value of the draw up in Dundalk the other night. They finished the game out really well, a really good balance to the team. I was very impressed that young Ward in midfield for them. I was also impressed with Ward for getting the win, because all the uncertainty about Ward for the recent times and John Sheridan having to come in, and I think it was really important that they got the win over the weekend, Adrian.
Johnny Glynn is with us, as I mentioned. Johnny, what was your main takeaway from the weekend when you look at it?
Great that football has returned. And I was obviously in Terryland to see Galway and Cavan Teely. I think, well, the timing is very good. The English football is just finishing. And for football fans, I suppose, a lot of the games are streamed. For me, I was lucky, one of the fortunate ones, to be able to get in to see the game. Cavan Teely looked a very good side and went away with a 2-0 win, which is probably a very fair reflection on the game. Pat Devlin and Eddie Gormley looked very happy after the game going away. Bernard on full with 12 points at the top of the table. Our lads are playing at Lone tomorrow night, which is a really big game for us now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's good to be back playing on here.
Yeah, certainly Cavan Teely picking up, as you say, where they left off. 4 wins from 4, 12 points, and they've a decent lead, albeit at this early stage, from Drogheda and Longford Town, who are both back on 7 points. But a very fine win for Cavan Teely away against Galway United. And I guess Alan Murphy would have been very disappointed with that result.
Yeah, I'm sure he will be. There's a lot of work put in the last few weeks. I'd imagine, I thought one or two of the players looked a little bit nervous, but I'm sure that they're a lot better than that, and they've got a big game obviously against Athlone and then Cove away on Saturday. I think the squad is strong. I think they'll be fine. I think we'll have a good chance of getting a run together. Once we get a run together, that we'll make the playoffs, which is the target. There's a lot of local lads in the squad, which is great. A lot of lads who've come through the underage at Galway United, so I obviously want to see them doing really well. I'll be confident they'll beat Athlone, but it probably won't be easy because it's our derby game, if you like, and it's never easy. But I'm sure he'll be disappointed, but I'm sure he'll have his work done for Monday night.
James, out of all the stories from the weekend, and there were a good few, which one would you single out?
I think the St. Pat's against Dundalk, I think St. Pat's are absolutely brilliant. The pace that they set it off at, the pressure they put on Dundalk from the get-go. Gibson and Hunt in particular, I thought, were really, really good players on the ball, and when they didn't have the ball as well, they hunted down the Dundalk players once they didn't have the ball. I think that for me was a wonderful result and shows that St. Pat's could well be one of those teams that starts pushing for those European places, and it could be at the expense of Derry City or Bohemians if St. Pat's go on a run, especially with the performance they put in when you consider they were a couple of weeks behind Dundalk in fitness and in training. And then the other one, I think, when you were there, Adrian, Roland Cochran for Sligo Rovers played really, really well against Derry and caused Derry so many problems during that game. I think he started really, really well as well. I think they're my two standouts.
Johnny, on the basis of what James just said there, do you think that St. Pat's now are capable of getting into that European mix?
Adrian, as I said, you know, just reiterating what James has said there, watching them, I thought they were going to blow out with steam, the amount of pressure they put on Dundalk the other night. And they kept it going right through to the end. I definitely think that they have a chance. You know, it's 12 games to go now, and they've started off on the right foot, but it's definitely putting a bit of a team together.
Okay, well, let's get some reaction from the weekend. We'll start actually at the Brandywell. Derry City 0, Sligo Rovers 2. Declan Devine, there was no hiding his disappointment after the game. But first, let's hear from the Sligo Rovers manager, Liam Buckley, after that 2-0 win.
Oh, it's very important for us, bearing in mind the start we got. Obviously, we'd been beaten four times on the spin, So it's a great turnaround from that end of it, but we're delighted with the win. I think as a group we worked extremely hard, in fairness, and bearing in mind the pre-season that we've had of about 5 weeks, and we've missed the foreign lads coming in with isolation, all that sort of stuff, but they have put in a serious shift. They have kept it fairly compact and we've limited them to very little. Now, in fairness, there wasn't a lot in the game, but nonetheless we've took our goals well, and we're grateful for the win.
And psychologically for the players coming into what is a shortened season now, with just after tonight, what, some 12 games to go, it's a huge tonic, it must be, in terms of their confidence to carry into the game against Waterford on Tuesday.
100%. You go into that game having lost 5 in a spin, it's a different picture. At least now we've got a victory under our belt, there's a feel factor goes with that, and hopefully a bit of confidence can come from tonight. We've still got one or two players to come back into the group from that end of it as well, which will help. We can look forward to Tuesday now with a better smile on our face.
We never showed up, a very bad performance from all of us. We gave away 2 really disappointing goals, but we didn't create enough either. We weren't brave enough in the ball. We were second to the ball. We were a bit bullied at times. Credit to Sligo. I didn't think they had to do a lot. They won the game. I think we beat ourselves. I think, we have to have a good look at ourselves now, leading into a difficult game at Pats. Very disappointing. It's the first game we've lost here to Brandywell this year, but that's 3 defeats out of 5, and it's just simply not good enough.
And as you say, you really do need a response going to Pats on Monday night.
Absolutely. Look, as I said, every game in this shortened season is going to be extremely difficult. But you have to give yourself a chance. You have to take care of yourself. And the intensity that we played and the work ethic that we had about ourselves tonight wasn't acceptable. And we can't afford to give away the goals that we give away. One from a set piece and then one from a sloppy tackle. We have to have a good look at it over the next couple of days, and we have to pick a team that's capable of going and getting something and Chico.
James, as our resident Derry man, that was a very disappointing display from the Candy Stripes. Now, I'm always wary of these situations, because I remember a couple of years ago we had Alan Cawley, and you were probably on it, on one of the podcasts, and we were all talking about, Shamrock Rovers, where are the goals going to come from? And then some 12 hours later they went out and hit Bray for 6 or 7 or something like that. So there could be a big response from Derry against St. Pat's, but were you concerned by what you saw on Friday?
Yes, is the only, the easy answer to that is a yes. They looked lost. They looked... some of them actually looked a little bit unfit, even. They seemed to die a death in it beside what they were doing. Like, and there's just no creativity. It was almost as if the night in Waterford was only last Friday, where they had no creativity against Waterford either. And that's very, very worrying, considering who they have playing. Like, Walter Figueroa is a very, very good player. He looked a bit lost on the pitch. Stephen Mallon as well looked very, very lost, or out of shape, or just not willing to run for the ball. So there was several individual performances that were poor, and that led to an overall poor side going out. And just, it's going to take a really, really big effort to dig deep tomorrow against St. Pat's.
Johnny, would you be worried for Derry? Because there's always a danger that you judge a team on the comeback, and there's been such a long layoff after 4 months, that you look at one result in isolation and perhaps there's a danger to read too much into it. Or is there more to be concerned about with regard to Derry that you saw on Friday?
You could hear Declan, he was so disappointed in the performance. I don't know what way his planning went in the lead up to the return of football, but it definitely didn't look too exciting for them. And he needs to get them regrouped, because if they're going down to Pats on Monday, they better be on the game, because the way Pats played. But not creating too many chances. Liam Buckley also said that there wasn't much in the game, so especially being at home. I think Derry would miss the factor of the home crowd as well. I think that would have been a factor to get the players going. But there's no better man than Declan to get them going again. But he's so disappointed after the game, and to have a go publicly about your players like that. Sometimes you can say, is it the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do? But definitely wasn't the right start that Declan or Derry City would have been looking for.
And Johnny Glynn this time. Johnny, by contrast, yeah, for Liam Buckley, because there was a lot of doom, I guess, around Sligo after the way the club had started, 4 defeats, and then coming back after the restart, and Sligo had been very vocal in terms of the format of the return of football. They were opposed to the status quo. The status quo, as we know, remains. So it's the bottom team getting relegated, second from last, involved in the playoffs in the first division. But Sligo had been quite vocal in their opposition to retaining that particular format. So there was a lot of concern, I guess, around Sligo Rovers. But that win will give them a huge confidence booster now as we head into the real business end of the season.
It massive for Sligo. I'm sure psychologically, maybe Sligo might have been at an advantage, if you know what I mean, going in those circumstances, that perhaps Liam had his lads really, really well mentally, well prepared for that fixture, and obviously well set up. And it's such a boost for them now at this stage that, you know, it for the club. I'm sure that the financial concerns for every club. And I'm just looking at the Cork Bowls match there this evening. Now, Cork looked decent enough to me, and I think they'll be difficult to beat. Bowls were the better side. But I think it's going to be very, very difficult to, at this stage, so many teams. I thought Waterford might struggle as well, but John Sheridan's got off to a great start there as well. So I think there's a lot of interesting games ahead.
Okay, well, seeing as you bring up Waterford and that terrific result they had on Saturday afternoon at Tulka Park, beating Shelburne by a goal to nil, John Martin with the only goal. We'll hear from the Shelburne manager, Ian Morris, very shortly. But first, after his first game in charge, a very delighted John Sheridan spoke to Stephen Alkin.
It was a very tough game for us, obviously. Very pleased to come out with the 3 points, which was always the main objective. We started the game really well. The pitch was a very tricky pitch to play on, so I've got to applaud both sets of players. It was a tricky pitch. We started the game, and the good thing is you get that first goal. It gives you a bit of belief to hang on to. I think we could have made the game a little bit easier than we should have, because I felt Shelburne put us on a lot of pressure second half, balls going in the box. Remember one block on, but I just feel we could have, our distribution of the ball could have been a little bit better, but I felt the pitch was probably stopping the way we want to try and play. But just to get off to a winning start, it's a massive 3 points for us. We knew it'd be a tough game, and it's a massive 3 points for us. So one or two tired legs, playing catch up. So, and we're still short. We've got a few injuries. We'll be back next week, hopefully 3 or 4 bodies. So I applaud my players for their effort they put in.
Ian, long wait for the comeback, and then what happened today? Are you disappointed?
Extremely, extremely. I don't think I can be upset with the result. I don't think we worked our goal at all. First half didn't turn up at all. We were caught between the stools a little bit, trying to play and then not trying to play. We just didn't show up, really. It was a wasted 45 minutes for us. Change at half time. I thought we dominated more in their territory, but without really creating any clear-cut chances. So, all in all, it was a disappointing day.
There you go. That's the Shelburne manager, Ian Morris. Johnny McDonnell, we mentioned St. Pat's in terms of possibly forcing their way into Europe. People were worried about Waterford on the resumption, saying they could be in a relegation battle. But, I'll put it to you, could they be in the mix for Europe?
Well, it's fresh for John coming in, John Sheridan. It's new, and he'll get a few players in. He some great performances with Matty Smith. Really, really impressed. I think Sam Bowen has found his club. I mean, he settled. Sam has been knocking around with the last year or two. You know, he's done a bit with Shamrock Rovers. Exceptional. Played a really good game the other night. And really, really important for John and for Waterford to get them 3 points. To answer your question, they're off the mark. They've got their 3 points. I think they could be the dark horse, and they could surprise a few teams. And, you know, John obviously wants to get it down and play, but they could be a team that could surprise a chase for the European spot. It'd be difficult chasing the likes of Pats and Bowles, but they might be the ones, I think, to chase. Shells, for me, look like they're going to struggle to score goals. Aaron Dobbs, lone striker, they're playing 4-5-1, and not a prolific scorer, but... as Ian said, they wasted the first 45 minutes. And that's about the players as well. It's not about the manager. The players have to make them decisions on the pitch. And I think brought Ryan Brennan on and stuff. But disappointment for Shells, but a great start for Waterford, as I say.
Yeah, I think the Waterford team, I know John was talking about the pitch there. The pitch looked really, really dry on Saturday afternoon. And the ball was bobbling all over the place. A great start for them. But if he's given out about that pitch, I wouldn't fancy if he has to go up to Finn Harps and play a game in the next couple of months up in Finn Harps. But it's a good result for them. I think you're right. Sam Bowen was a good player at Shamrock Rovers, got injured, and when he came into Waterford he was injured, took a while to get fit again. But now that he's back there, he seems to be, as you said, Johnny, he seems to be settled in a club, and I think that makes a big difference for a guy who comes back from the UK and doesn't settle initially. Once he gets that club that he settles with, he can show exactly what he does.
He just needs to be playing consistently, James. You know yourself, a player, you know, once you're playing consistently, your confidence comes together, your timing, all that. But And as I said, it looks like Waterford could be a good fit for him.
And Johnny Glynn, there's talk perhaps of Daryl Murphy signing in the next wee while for Waterford, and that would certainly boost their prospects, wouldn't it?
It'd be fantastic to see him back playing in the league. I can barely remember it actually now. It's been so long since he started off playing with Waterford. It would be fantastic if he's in good condition. I think it's a great signing for John Sheridan, given their circumstances, and someone that's going to maybe guarantee you a few goals. If they can keep Daryl fit, it'll be fantastic.
And Johnny McDonald, I think we're about, 20 minutes in, and we haven't mentioned the league leaders, Shamrock Rovers. I mean, their fans for the last few months were looking at the table, 3 points clear at the top of the table, wondering would the season resume. And then, in the space of 24 hours, they're now 5 points clear. Terrific win over Finn Harps. They had basically the match wrapped up quite early on. Jack Byrne with a terrific free kick to get them going. So they've hit the ground running, haven't they?
Oh, they've taken up the baton again where they left it off. And you know, you talk about Jack's free kick, Adam McAniff's strike was fantastic as well. You know, I think they could go unbeaten for the rest of the season. I really do. I think they're flying. I think they have the squad, the quality of player, and they've also Graham Broke obviously staying on board. You know, they've a huge squad. They've nearly two teams to pick from, and that's not including their second team, as you said earlier, with a little bit of confusion. But I really think that Shamrock Rovers could go unbeaten. Farooj has settled in well and played well the other night. You know, as I say, young Bulger coming back as well, so they've a huge panel. I just think that this team, looking at them against the way Dundalk played the other night, I just think there's a little bit more spark about them. I think Shamrock Rovers could score an average of 2 goals in every game to the end of the season. I really do. I think they're flying at the moment, and I think they're going to be difficult to stop.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. I have to say, they started off yesterday with a swagger about them, a confidence about them that really none of the other teams started with over the weekend. They seemed to, exactly as Johnny said, pick it up where they left off. 3 very, very good goals, and then just took their foot off the pedal, used the substitutes very, very well so people weren't worn out. I think Sunday's game up in the Brandywell will be won if they come away with that with a win. And I would kind of agree with Johnny. I think if they get away from the next 2 games with 2 wins, they're going to be very, very hard to catch, especially with the shortened season.
Johnny Mack, can I just go back to you? Why do you say that you feel they're capable of going unbeaten? What is it about them?
I think, you know, from my experience of being a manager, as a coach, or even as a player and winning leagues, they've built this up over the last couple of years. Stephen Bradley has built this team. It's taken them a bit of time to get them together. And you just get to a stage, Adrian, where no matter what happens in the game, you feel they're going to win the game. And I just seen that in Shamrock Rovers the other night. And people might say it was Finn Harps. No disrespect to Finn Harps. But there was just that confidence in them. Even if Finn Harps would have went 1-0 up, I still think Shamrock Rovers have that. It's not a swagger. It's not being cocky. It's a confidence. It's an inbuilt confidence individually and collectively around the team that no matter what happens on the day, that they're going to win. And I know that feeling, and I looked at Rovers, and I think they have it, and that's why I think they're going to want to win the league.
And James, from a Finn Harps perspective, is that just one of those results that you say, look, they could well go on to become champions? I know Dundalk will have plenty to say about that, but from Molly Horgan's perspective, you just put it down as one of those days?
Yeah, Ollie will always look at it that way. You know, I know he was quite upset about the way he gave away the goals and even the free kick that led up to Jack Byrne's strike. He was quite upset with that. But in fairness to him, he will take some positives out of it. In the second half, they had a lot of the ball. And even after the 3 goals went in, they had a lot of the ball as well. I think that's their first time to score in Talla in 5 or 6 attempts, I think, yesterday afternoon. So he'll take that as positive. You've got to realise he's dealing off a very, very small, young squad. For Finn Harps even to take to the pitch for the rest of the season is a big achievement. And he'll be looking at games in Finn Park to secure points here, there and everywhere. And we know what they're like. They're scrappers. They're going to scrap right down to the final game of the season. But unfortunately, they will be scrapping around those bottom two spots.
And Johnny Mack, Shamrock Rovers, between the Premier Division and the First Division, the only team this weekend to win at home. Is there something in that? Is that just one of those quirky things that happens? Or is it the fact that it's the matches are being played behind closed doors, and as a result, the lack of crowd and the lack of atmosphere has given the away team perhaps, you know, a 50-50 shot, whereas before maybe the crowd might sway it in favour of the home team. What are your thoughts?
Well, do you know what, Adrian? You can say that. You mentioned Derry. I think Derry would have, the loss of their fans definitely helped them up in Derry. But you can also flip that over. And, you know, when you'd be saying to your players, you know, you're playing away from home, go and quiet in the crowd, get them quiet down, let's get the first goal. You heard John Sheridan saying it there. It was important he got the first goal. So it can work for you both ways, Adrian. You know, the home team might need that encouragement, just a good build-up play, and they hit the crossbar, or they get a couple of corners, crowd get behind them. But as I said, it can work the other way. The away team trying to control the game, keep the crowd quiet. But I just think it's one of them things that the way it happened the weekend, Shamrock Rovers getting the home win. I just think it's one of them things. But I don't think you can use it as an excuse. I really don't. I think the players have got to be professional. They've got to go out. And I know it's the first game back, and there can be a couple of strange results and different levels of fitness because the teams have got back a little bit earlier than the other teams. But I just think it's down to the players individually to put in the performance, whether the crowd is there or not.
Okay, well, the hope will be that fans will be in attendance in the next week, while the government, of course, will take advice from the health experts. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But as things stand, most clubs so far have decided not to allow any fans attend. All quite strange, really. John Kenny went along to Oriel Park for the Dundalk Pats game on Friday night, and he has this take on football behind closed doors.
The League of Ireland resumes tonight with two Premier Division fixtures. Derry City versus Sligo Rovers kicks off shortly at 5:45, and Dundalk are at home.
And so the League of Ireland was back. I travelled to Oriel Park on Friday for the meeting of Dundalk against St Patrick's Athletic and was met with the new set of protocols.
Temperature check.
How's the end of the day?
Yeah, sign in now.
Yeah.
This is the procedure. Sign in, is it?
Yeah. John, would you just give John one of those tickets?
Yeah.
Right. And
it's been a tough week for the Lily Whites with the death of Harry Taff, known as Mr Dundalk. Here's the Dundalk General Manager, Martin Connolly.
Yeah, it's been a really tough week with the passing of Harry, and it's been really, really affected everybody in different ways, and but we're looking forward to getting back to playing football.
Yeah.
I hope you can do him justice.
Oh, sure you will. In terms of what you've had to do this week, all the procedures, how's that gone for you?
We're lucky enough. We've had five or six friendlies, and we've gone through the procedure and the protocol. Obviously, live on telly brings its own wee pressures and that. But look, we just want to get back to playing football and hope it works out.
And in terms then of what you've done with the friendlies, obviously the players are getting used to playing in front of no fans.
Well, I hope so. We'll find out tonight. But the procedure is slightly different because they're in a different building than the away team. But they've got used to that because that's the building they train out of. So that's, you know, we see how they react tonight. But hopefully, you know, we had a very sad week, and hopefully they do Harry Taff justice tonight.
Sure. And in terms then of the dressing rooms, GAA aren't allowing the dressing rooms, but the dressing rooms are in operation here, aren't they?
Well, what we've done, John, is that the away team is using both our dressing rooms, and we have the training facility on the other part of the ground, which our home team are using. So, you know, there's, I see it's been done in the Premiership and other leagues in Europe, so that's what we're doing.
Number four, Dan Morris. Number five, Lee Gentlemen's.
With no fans allowed, there was a strange echo around the main stand, from where Michael Duffy, the PA announcer for the last 20 years, continued to work.
Michael, you're the man who does the PA here, been doing it for a couple of years. It's got to be a bit weird playing a PA here tonight for nobody.
20-odd years, John, to be precise. Well, in fairness, we were in the first division for 7 years, and we've had a few nights when we've had sub-200 crowds. So tonight, obviously, we have nobody in-house tonight, bar all the officials and the media, etc. So it will be weird. There'll be a bit of an echo around the stadium, I imagine, tonight.
You can hear it in the background, can't you? Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely, yeah.
But it's good to be back, though, isn't it?
It's great to be back. And it's a day that we knew was coming. We weren't sure how it was going to happen, under what circumstances. Would we have a small crowd? Would we have a limited number? But sadly, nobody at all, which is, it's weird for the players.
For tonight's game, the Lily White old boy, Stephen O'Donnell, is back.
Yeah, it's great to see Stephen. And Stephen is very well liked here, always has been and always will be. And we wish him very well in his future at St Pat's, but not tonight.
So what of Dundalk's opponents, St Patrick's Athletic? Here's their assistant manager, Alan Matthews.
Well, as Wild Cherry plays out behind us, Alan Matthews, how's the build-up been for St Pat's?
I think it's been very good, John. The next 90 minutes will tell us how good it's been. We're all delighted to get back and get back training. Players have done their own thing for as long as they can, but it's very difficult when you're doing it individually. So to get back as a group a month ago has been very positive, and we're looking forward to the match tonight.
Sure. How's the build-up been? What's the put protocols in place to see some of the players out there with masks on, obviously come up on the bus today?
Yeah, we had to adhere to all the rules and regulations in relation to travel. We had a limited amount on the bus. A couple of people drove up. Players, as you can see, are observing whatever distancing rules they need to when they're not in the group, wearing masks. And again, as I said, looking forward to getting out, getting the boots on and getting the match going. It's a tough place to come, but it's a great match for us to start back on.
Sure, it's all a bit surreal, this, isn't it? You know, no fans as well. That might be a leveller, though, this season, with no fans in to have a go with the away team.
We have a lot of young players in the team, and, you know, sometimes maybe playing and coming to the big crowd might inhibit them until they get used to it. You know, this is a tough game, whether there's fans here or not. But absolutely, yeah, some players may react to an empty ground better than they would to a full house. You don't really know until you get going. But I certainly think that as we stand back and look back at it, it's great that the league is back, albeit with no fans.
Dundalk scored first through Patrick Hooban, but the lead lasted just 2 minutes.
It's Forrester and Ward. Griffin with the cross. Benson! Well, there's a response.
A decent game after 5 months back for both sides, and 1-1 it finished. And this the reaction then of both managers. Coming up, Stephen O'Donnell after Vinnie Perth.
Vinnie, I suppose good to be back, but 2 points dropped?
Yeah, 2 points dropped. I mean, yeah, a lot of possession. We were pressed up high tonight, and we were expecting it. We'd worked on it all week, but just lacked a little bit of quality at times. Pitch was difficult for us tonight, and we should have done a little bit better. And goals change games and big moments, and after we took the lead on a press we'd worked on ourselves, we needed to just get through that spell, because we'd weather a bit of their high press and they were starting to run our legs a little bit. So disappointing from that end.
It was a decent game, and you've got to give credit to both sets of players. 5 months break, quite robust and quite competitive.
Yeah, it was a good game. Obviously, you know, they looked tired, but to be fair, they were back a lot later than us for obvious reasons. But just a lot of rustiness there from ourselves, and you can try and do everything you can. You can't replicate intensity of matches.
In terms of the protocols and everything leading up to this game and tonight as well, what did you make to them all?
Yeah, listen, I think all the boxes are ticked. You know, it's disappointing. You missed that, like, shed roaring us on with a half an hour to go, particularly home game. So you lose that advantage. But listen, it balances itself out in what is a very short period of time.
Stephen, happy with the point?
I would be happy, but on the other hand, I thought we had probably the better of the chances on a whole. You know, so I'm just delighted with the application and attitude of the players more so than anything.
Got to say, the commitment of the players, both sets of players, in fact, after a 5 month break, has got to be commended. You must be happy the way that the side played tonight, and the robust challenge. There was nobody holding back tonight, so there weren't.
No, but it's our livelihoods, you know what I mean? It's what we love doing, and it's what ultimately we're getting paid for, so that should be a given. And, you know, our lads were focused, I felt, in the week. We had a decent training week, and we were all looking forward to it. So, look, you'd expect that. You're coming up against the top team in the league, so you'd expect you need to play at an intensity to get on and from it, and that's what we did.
The protocols coming up to the game and everything, and the observations tonight, what did you make to it all?
Yeah, it's obviously a little bit strange, but ultimately when you get on the pitch, the 90 minutes is still pretty much the same, but you just have to follow the protocols. It's there, it's the same for everyone. It's something we're going to have to live with, hopefully, until, you know, whatever they say, a vaccine or whatnot comes. But it's not really off-putting. Obviously, the supporters is the big loss, you know. You want to play in big atmospheres and great atmospheres. So, obviously, from a health standpoint, the quicker it gets back to normal, the better. And also from a sporting, a spectacle standpoint.
That's the St. Pat's manager, Stephen O'Donnell, in conversation with John Kenny, who put together that package from Oriel Park on Friday night. James, it was obviously a very poignant night for the Dundalk players, given the sad passing of Harry Taff. And like so many of us, you would have come across Harry Taff because of the nature of your work.
Yeah, my old pal Harry. As desperate news over the weekend when we found out he passed away, and it obviously, he was so close to everybody in Dundalk, every player. He had put his arm around every single player. He touched absolutely everybody in that ground. He was groundsman,
pitch waterer, cameraman. If you needed something done, Harry was the man to go to. He's been a great pal of mine over the last 10, 11 years of covering the League of Ireland with Soccer Republic and previously Monday Night Soccer. He'd be a great loss. And yeah, you could see it in some of the players, even for the minute silence before the game. It was really affecting them. And not just the Dundalk players, obviously Robbie Benson, Stephen O'Donnell as well would have really got to know Harry over their time at Dundalk. And it just goes to show how much of a big man he was. Like you see Daniel O'Donnell spread in the Independent yesterday, a two-page spread on the man. So yeah, it was a very difficult time for them to go out. And as you said, no fans there as well. Didn't really give the boost that they want. And as you heard from John Kenny's interview there, Mr. Duffy on the PA literally only has one volume button on that PA at Dundalk, and it's high. That's the only direction it goes. It never comes down. It's always at that height, no matter who's in the ground, be it nobody. Or I'm sure he goes up there on Saturday afternoons just to play the music as well. But no, it was
some good music, I have to say. Crank it up to 11 there, lad.
I think it starts at 12.
Johnny Glynn, we were talking, we made reference to St. Pat's and, you know, that the fine performance on Friday night. You'd obviously know Stevie O'Donnell, a fellow Galway man. Do you think he's going to do well as a manager?
That's obviously a massive result for Stephen. I'm delighted for him. It really... such important for the further season to restart after not having a good start before the lockdown. So I think it will give them an awful lot, and hopefully if they'll manage the success well, that they don't get too carried away, and they have a big game now coming up. So, but like that's huge from going up there, getting the point, and yeah, give them a big boost.
Johnny McDonald, you're obviously firmly of the view now that Shamrock Rovers, well, I'm saying obviously, but you seem to be of the view that they're going to go on and win the title. So what kind of chance do you give Dundalk at all in this particular battle? Because they're 5 points down. They have a very, very sticky game now coming up at the weekend against Bohemians at Dalyman Park. Bohemians who chiselled out that 1-0 win in Cork. But it's even at this early stage, after the resumption, it's surely a must-win game for Dundalk because Shamrock Rovers don't play until Sunday.
Yeah, well, like, you know, you'd never write Dundalk off, you know. And if you look back over the last few years, it's been Shamrock Rovers that's been chasing Dundalk. It's now Dundalk's time to chase Shamrock Rovers. And I would never write them off, absolutely wouldn't write them off. You know, they've enough players there, they've enough quality within the group to go on and pick up points and put a bit of pressure. The pressure will come on Shamrock Rovers further down the line when they see the finishing line, and the pressure might be off Dundalk and they go on a bit of a run. But I would say, obviously, between Shamrock Rovers and Dundalk, I fancy Shamrock Rovers going to win the league, but Dundalk to push them all the way. Just listening to what Vinny said there, you know, and talking about them, you know, the crowd. They missed the crowd the other night. The amount of late goals that Dundalk would have scored over the last few seasons, and it just didn't look the other night as if one of them goals is going to come. And Vinny mentioned the missing the crowd from the shed and not getting behind them. But to answer your question again, they pushed Shamrock Rovers all the way, absolutely pushed them all the way.
Johnny, do you think they're 5 points clear now? It's a shortened season. Like if there's a point drop against Bowes on Friday night and Rovers go on to win, that puts them 7 points clear of them. And as we've already suggested, it could be a case of they won't lose a game this season. That's going to make them... You need 7 draws in those last 11 games, basically, for them not to win the league then.
No, it's going to be... Sorry, James, it'd be really, really difficult, as I said. You know, Dundalk... Bowes have done well against Dundalk in recent years as well. There wouldn't be a team you'd want to be playing next. You know, if they go and get maybe a draw against Bowes or get beaten against Bowes, you know, Shamrock Rovers are going to be on the front foot. They're going to have to bit between their teeth now. This is the best opportunity Shamrock Rovers are going to have to win the league. And I don't think they're going to miss this opportunity.
We mentioned the midweek matches just to fill you in on the weekend matches. And of course, don't forget they're all available on watchloi.ie. You can sign up for a season pass or you can buy a particular game if you want. Bowes against Dundalk on Friday at Dalyman Park is at 5:45 with Des Kern. At St. Pat's against Finn Harps at Richmond Park, 7:45 kickoff, also on Friday night, Siobhan Madigan. John Kenny, the great JK, is at the RSC for Waterford against Cork on Saturday afternoon. That game kicks off at 2 o'clock. And Johnny Glynn, that's an intriguing tussle, isn't it? A Munster derby with Waterford now probably, you know, full of confidence against a Cork City side who suffered a, you know, a very sobering defeat at home against Bohemians.
Yeah, and I suppose it's a derby game now in Munster, and really big game for both sides. Cork won't want to lose. Waterford will be on a high. At the moment, you'd say Waterford will be favoured for that game, but it'll be certainly be a big game for both clubs.
Yeah, that game at 2 o'clock on Saturday, Waterford against Cork City. Sligo Rovers, who play Waterford on Tuesday night, they're at home to Sherbourne at 5 o'clock at the Showgrounds on Saturday. And then on Sunday, big one, Derry City against Shamrock Rovers. Johnny McDonald, can I just ask you about your thoughts on the five substitutes? You know, managers are allowed to make five subs. I'm sure in time we'll see a case where it pays dividends. What are your thoughts on clubs being allowed to make five substitutes? Because obviously it was brought in right around Europe because players were coming back after a long layoff and they didn't want players picking up injuries, so they gave managers the opportunity to use five substitutes. But some people are saying it's in now and may well stay. What do you think?
They might look at it. You know, initially it was brought in for the reasons that you said, Adrian. You know, some teams will look at it's a good opportunity to go maybe and have a look at young players. You know, teams that big squads where they can introduce young players into games and see what way they are. How, you know, can they trust them? Will they be able to use them in bigger games coming up? I think if it's across Europe, I think it might stay, Adrian. I really do. I think it's a time of change, and I think it might stay. I think it's a good opportunity for it to stay, and I think if you have a big squad, great. If you have a small squad and it's nice and tight, you know, different people look at it in different ways.
James, a couple of other stories. Glenn Tornan winning the Irish Cup final after extra time, beating Ballymena.
Yeah, that was a great 2 days of football, in fairness, in the Northern Irish League. The semi-finals going back-to-back, both going to penalties, and then the Glens winning it. Obviously, that was the final that Pat Fenlon didn't predict last week on the podcast. He got that completely wrong. He's meant to be our man with the finger on the pulse of Northern Irish football, but he got them two wrong. Great to see for Gavin Pearce. That's a Northern Irish Cup and an FEI Cup medals for himself. Young Patrick McLean as well. He's got a cup medal there in Glens. Good for McDermott as well. I think coming in as a new management team and actually a new board at Glens at the start of the season, for them to finish off with a cup final win is very, very good for them. And there were three very entertaining games. And Windsor Park, it looks brilliant on the television, I have to say, as the stadium. It was obviously for the semi-finals, they were filmed the opposite way around, so the normal cameras would have been on the other side of the ground, looking into the big stand. But very, very good occasions. And in the second semi-final, I think I counted 8 former League of Ireland players were involved in the second semi-final that night as well. That it also went to penalties that Glens came out on top of. But no, it was good. It was a good weekend for them, has to be said.
Yeah, with Richard Brush in goal for Coleraine.
Richard Brush, was in goal. Yeah. McLean, McCrudden, McDermott was on the pitch as well. Former Drogheda player at centre half as well. So there was a fair few former League of Ireland players in that semi final.
Johnny, just a word on another story. Troy Parrott going on loan from Tottenham to Millwall. Harry Kane, of course, went to Millwall before and it didn't do him any harm. But for Troy now, it's important for him to get football, isn't it?
I totally agree, Adrian. I mean, you know, we know he can play at the level. He's played a fair few bit parts with Spurs. A lot of hype about the young lad. A lot of pressure on him. Again, going to Millwall. Whether Millwall's the right fit for him, I don't know what style of football they play. He'd be coming out with cultured football at Spurs, but some people might disagree with me, but however. But I don't know what way Millwall play. But he's a big, strong, aggressive young lad. I know him. He's one of our ex-Belvedere boys. And I think, for Troy, I think it's the right time. I think it's the right thing to do, to go out and play football and week in and week out. and get out there and get himself a few goals. His future might not be at Spurs as a first-team player, but this will give him a great indication of what his level will be. And Millwall done well in the Championship this season. So it'll be a good opportunity for him to go and play week in, week out.
Also, of course, James, before we wrap things up, a big weekend ahead. The Women's National League finally gets underway, because, of course, lockdown came just as the Women's National League season was about to get underway. Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, I think this is going to be great to get them underway at the same time. I think they've done a lot of good media work around it. I think Barrystown announces their season sponsor last week. So that's sort of their charity sponsor for the year.
Charity,
so that's
partner, yeah.
That's quite good. There's some good news about them. I'm sure Anya Gorman can't wait to get back on the pitch. I've seen her the other day. She looks flying fit. There's a couple of players, the likes of the Treaty United as well. We've seen them being introduced during the week with their very, shall I say, Derry City-esque jersey with nice candy stripes. It's unusual for a team to come out of Limerick in red and not in blue. I think that's great news. I think as soon as we get it back, obviously another bit of women's football news just the other day as well is obviously Louise Quinn signing Fiorentina. I think that's big for her prospects of staying within the international setup. I had a sneaky suspicion that she might have stayed in London and played for one of the other clubs there that's just starting up. But a good move for her, I think, going off to Italy. She'll have to polish up on her Italian, though. That's the only problem for her.
Best of luck to Louise Quinn in Florence with Fiorentina. Lads, listen, we leave it there. Johnny Glynn, Head of Development at Galway United, thanks for joining us. Johnny Mack as well. And James, until next week. Bye-bye from us all.